Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
We thank God I was able to settle one of my cases this week to get all things caught up and get back on the right track. I mean, God is faithful. I mean, like I told you, when I first started practicing, I didn't understand how God can really do what I didn't think he could do. I always thought he had to use me. Now, don't get me wrong, I have to do something. I do pray, but then he directs my steps. He gives me favor. He sends people my way, all those things. But when I have a need that I can't meet, I just have to ask him, and then he sends the provision. And I've learned that no matter what the amount is, God can bring it in. Amen? And that takes a lot of faith. I'm 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000. Doesn't matter. I don't limit God to what I can see. I trust him to do what he can do. Amen. The Bible says that he will meet our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which are innumerable. I don't know if you guys remember this temple when they were building the temple. Solomon counted the gold, he counted the silver, but when he got to the brass, he says it was too much to count. That's the way God's riches are. It's just too much to count. You can't put a number on it. I mean, one day God can, there's anything God can do, he can provide. He can give you the idea to create a new product. Amen? I mean, nowadays, all you need is an app. And let people buy it, then you take off. So don't limit God to what you know. I remember this movie one time, it was a long time ago. This guy, he wasn't a very bright man. He says, all I need to do is to be smart for a minute and a half. He says, because then, he says, he'll get an idea and that'll propel his life to where he wanted. And that's exactly what he did. He invented something and he had a business and he was successful. So that took a lot of faith. He said, I'm not very bright, but all I need to do is to be smart for a minute and a half. I said, now that's an amazing way to look at it. But you're right. All you need is one idea. Am I right? One idea can set you up for life. So just remember that. And when you're praying, God says, speak to me, Lord, and direct me so that I can be on the correct path to what you're doing in my life. No weapon. You know, a lot of people always say I'm on a limited income. How many heard people say that? Huh? Everybody's heard that, right? You know what? Everybody who has a job is on a limited income. Did you know that? You're limited to what everybody pays you. But when you trust in God, he can take you off the limited and put you into the unlimited. Amen. And even while you're getting the limited, you don't have to leave the one to get the other. He can just add to what you have. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for that truth that there is no such thing with him as the limited income. So let's go back to our subject of anticipation. We left it a little bit for the resurrection, although I incorporated some of the things that I was talking about in anticipation into the resurrection about how the world, I don't know if you guys catch this, and sometimes we miss this in the Christmas story, as we call it, but there was an expectation that the Messiah was coming. Do you guys catch that? I mean, the star shows up. And they all knew that it had something to do with the Messiah. So Jesus there was an anticipation of Jesus' life. Unfortunately, they missed what God had intended for them to see. However, that was still God's plan, because he sent Jesus to die for the sins of the world before he would become the king of the world. Amen? So, but the anticipation of him coming was in the air. And this is what we are trying to create in the church, both here and those that listen to our podcasts and all those things, wherever they might be, an anticipation of what God can do and wants to do in our lives. We have to stop limiting God to only what we see and to only what we understand. Amen? Let me pray before I start preaching. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And we ask that you would have your way in our lives. Do what only you can do in our lives, Lord, and speak to us the way you want to speak to us. Father, we are getting to the place where we're asking you to take our limits on you off. We ask that you would remove the things that limit you in our lives. And Lord God, that might mean that we have to surrender. That may mean we have to give things up. But let us remember that nobody gives anything up for the kingdom of God that will not be multiplied many times over. So Lord, help us to have your mindset and not ours when it comes to surrender. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak to us, Lord, on the subject of anticipation. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So, we all know Proverbs 3, was it 3, 5 through 8? The 3, 5 part is the part we always read, and it says, what does it say? Trust. Come on, say it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's the second part of that? And lean not on your own understanding. Everybody say that with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, then it goes on to say, acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your paths. Now, that is one of the great promises of the Bible. That's one of those verses that you just got to remember because it's so telling about our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. All of our life's training teaches us to lean on our own understanding. Am I right? Everything we're taught in life, question everything. Doubt until you have evidence. That's part of the scientific community's problem, is they want to get evidence, but there's things in the kingdom of God that you just cannot analyze. You just have to believe. Now, the thing about faith, and I'm going to say this and then I'll get into the points I want to make. The thing about faith, you can't analyze it initially, but you can analyze the results of faith. Meaning, faith comes, as the Bible says, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the faith that we have comes from the fact that we hear something God has spoken to our hearts. And then we grab a hold of that, we pray it, or we command it, depending on the circumstance. And then when it comes to pass, that's when you can see the results of your faith. Amen? Amen? So but the challenge of faith is from the belief to the receive. Amen? So you believe God, but the enemy tries to tempt you, trick you, make you doubt before you receive what you have been believing God for. But that's where anticipation or expectation comes in. You have to continue to anticipate and expect that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, even though it might take a while. Remember patience. Remember that word patience? You know, we like to name people. I don't think we don't name too many people. Is that your name? Patience? Ruth? Ruth? Yeah, in America, we don't use that name as much, but older people used to name people patience. But patience, the Bible says, is come so that we might be what? What does patience do for us? Anybody know? It makes us able to wait on the Lord, but it also says in James that it perfects us. Did you hear that? Patience perfects us. Let me say that again, because we don't like that. Patience perfects us. Or perfect, huh? Oh, I thought you were talking to me. So whenever you're waiting on God, that is a perfecting time in your walk with him. Did you get that? You are being perfected through patience. Now that is a hard lesson to learn, but that is how God deals with us. Because faith in God's kingdom doesn't have a timetable. It just is. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for the what? Evidence of things not seen. Now that's almost like a contradiction. How can you have evidence of something that's not present? But it's not present only to the sense level, but it's present in the spirit. Amen? But anticipation carries you from belief to receiving. And like I said, there's three phases of faith. You hope, you believe, and then you know. And patience carries you to the know. But let's go through some stories in the Old Testament, and in a couple, I guess they're all Old Testament stories, where God said something that was pretty bizarre, but the children of Israel believed him. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 21. I don't know if I'll be able to go through all these stories today, but we'll try to go through as many as we can. Now, Michael has been, God has spoken to him about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. And this is the same story. But I want you to see something in the story that is good for us to see. So let's go to 6:1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march. Now notice he tells Joshua what to do, right? You shall march around the city, you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow at the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, and the reason I read this part is that we know the story. We know how the story ends. But God tells him what's going to happen before he ever even makes a step. So the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's the hearing part. Now, Joshua is a commander He's a general. He is a man of faith because he lived with Moses. That's why Joshua got the job, because he was always around Moses. But think about this strategy from a military's point of view. He said, look, go or walk around the building, the city, just once every day for 6 days. And then the last day, blow the trumpet and shout, and the walls are going to fall down. Now, again, I've seen stories trying to explain the fall of the wall of Jericho. And they say, well, the shouts were so loud, it was like an earthquake. And therefore, the wall, look, come on now. I mean, look, you go down to the football stadium and you hear shouts. And they got Richter scale registers down there. Have you guys seen they measure how loud it is was it Questfield now? Or did they change it? Yeah, the CenturyLink field. I'm sorry, I'm a few years behind. Anyway, but they register the monitor, the noise decibels. It's not strong enough to bring that building down. I mean, it's loud, but it's not that strong. And I know there were probably at least 600,000 soldiers in the military army of the Jewish people, because we know that from the census in Numbers. But that's not what caused the wall to fall. What caused the wall to fall was that the children of Israel believed what God said to them. Faith came from hearing, and then hearing brought about the promise that God said would happen. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole section, but the last part is verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, and every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. So the promise God spoke came to pass. That's what the issue was. But they had to expect it and anticipate that God's word is true. This is where we have to walk as God's people. See, the challenge is, natural things are so real to us. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the reality of life. Natural dominates the spiritual in our lives. We hear, we see, we smell, we touch. And what's the fifth one? Feel. All these things make us think life is about these five senses. And so when we get into a circumstance that requires us to ignore the five senses and go to the source of the provision, the five senses scream loudly, saying, you can't do that. That's impossible. You can't see that. You can't. That's what the five senses say in our reasoning. But going back to Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So the anticipation and expectation is that, God, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I've got to get there. So show me how to get there. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. See, when you're faced with a big dilemma, see, and this is another challenge, is that a lot of times we think that faith is an emotion, meaning that at times you have more faith and then at other times you don't. No, faith is what it is. It's what you believe. And believing has nothing to do with how you feel. Say that. Everybody say that. Believing has nothing to do with how you feel. But that's how we live our lives. I feel like I have a lot of faith. Therefore, I believe God. I don't feel like it today, so I don't believe God. That's not the way you're supposed to walk by faith. Now, and these are life's lessons, so I hope you're catching all this stuff. That does not mean that you do not, your emotions do not go up and down. That does not mean that. But it means that you don't allow your emotional state affect your faith state. Amen? Let me ask this question, and just to try to make sure if I can make this a reality. How many some days don't feel like they're saved? Raise your hand. I think everybody, come on, let's be honest. Everybody feels someday, I don't feel saved. But does that change anything? Come on, talk to me. Is it real, real? Does it change the fact that you don't feel saved? Change the fact that you are saved? No. But see, that's how the enemy plays with an emotional person. If you lean on your emotions, you will talk yourself out of your own salvation based on how you woke up that morning. But feelings don't rule the faith kingdom. Faith rules. And I'm not talking about faith and faith. You know, a lot of people say, well, you got to have faith. No. Faith is centered in God and His Word. It's not, I just believe. I remember talking to somebody one day, and I was talking to him about something, and it had to do with a case he was talking to me about. And he said, well, all the facts were against him. He had been accused of something, and not a crime, but doing something at work. He got terminated. And then he said to me, but I believe that things are going to be turned around. And I said to him, that's not how faith works. It doesn't turn around something that's obviously not in what God says it should be. It doesn't just, you can't change things. Well, let me be careful, because you can change things by believing. But when you're against the will of God, you can't change that. The only thing you can change is your own heart. All right? But anyway, so I couldn't get that across to him. And so he got mad at me. And, started calling me all sorts of things. I couldn't believe how he switched so quickly. You know, he said, you're not a pastor, you're not a Christian. I was like, wow, just because I don't agree with you? That's kind of, but, you know, I said, okay, well, whatever. I said, hey, you know, take it, do what you want to deal with it, but there's nothing I can do to help you, okay?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And so a lot of times people get the idea that if they believe hard enough, then they can change things. But that's not how faith works. Faith works with the Word of God. That's why you have to pray the will of God to get God to do what He promised He'll do in your life. You just can't make up stuff so that you can believe hard enough to get things to come. I mean, if that were the case, you know, we all as well just touch and agree that all of us could get $1 billion tomorrow, so we don't have to worry about working anymore. You can only pray that if God reveals that to you. Now, God may tell people, I want to bless you like that. That's what He told Solomon. He says, not only will you get wisdom, He says, I'll give you more than any king and any other kings on the face of the earth will ever have. The Bible says that And I don't know how many tons of gold Solomon used to bring. It says 666,000 talents, which is so much gold. That's why Solomon had so much gold. He started making cups out of it. He didn't know what to do with it. So he just got, but that's what God will do in certain circumstances. And we can't take God from doing what he wants to do, but you can't make God do something. Are you hearing me? You cannot make God. God is in charge. He has elevated us from servants to sons, but he's still the Father. Am I right? I don't know about you, but in my house, I could ask my father for stuff, but in certain circumstances, there's some things I just don't ask. If I just want to keep my teeth or not get in trouble. My dad didn't ever hit me, so I don't want to imply that. He spanked me, but he didn't punch me, okay? But there were just some things you just don't ask your father because it wasn't in his will. It wasn't his plan for me. And that's the same with God. God is in charge. We're not down here trying to manipulate God. We're not the puppet. We don't have any strings on God. Say, if I say this, God's hand will raise. No, God is the one that has control over us. And so we have to get in line with what he wants. That's why we have to spend time to find out what he wants, so that we can do what he wants us to do. But the great thing about it is God will share with us what he wants. And he has done so through his word. Amen? So in the story of Joshua, he told them what to do. Now remember, he also told the first generation what he was going to do. And he told them, he said, Moses, send them out to spy the land. And what did they come back talking about? Oh, we saw the giants. Senses. And then we saw ourselves as little in our own sight, and therefore we can't take. God didn't ask you if there were giants in the land. He knew there were giants in the land. So you weren't bringing him new information. He just told you to go take the land. They said, we don't want to take it. We're afraid. We need to go back to Egypt. Moses, we need to stone you because you brought us to a place that we can't get. They didn't believe the word that God had spoken to them. Amen? Faith spoke. Faith comes by hearing. He told them to go take the land. They said no. And so, okay, well, you don't get it. And then they tried to change their mind. Okay, no, we're sorry. No, it says it's too late. I've been dealing with you over and over and over. You can't go in the land. And they tried to go even after he told them not to. And what happened? They got killed. So when Joshua told the children of Israel to march, this was another faith test. They could have said, no, we're not doing that. That doesn't make any sense. And according to our calculations, we can't do it that way. That's how we are when it comes to the things of God. Things don't make sense to us, so we're not going to do it. That's why I said at the beginning, we have been trained in unbelief. We have been trained not to believe God for what he says. And part of it is the fact that we can't trust people. People are not 100% trustworthy. That's just the reality. That's what we're trying to do as believers, but the reality is sometimes we say something that we don't do. And we should repent for that, because we should be people of our word. And that's what we're working towards. But that's part of the reason why people don't trust God is because people can't see anybody worth trusting like that. Amen? That's why people have trust issues, because people have not been trustworthy in their lives. Let's move to the next story. So let's go to Second Chronicles, oops, forgot to get the chapter. Let me see if I can get the chapter here. It's the Jehoshaphat story. Huh? 20? All right, thank you. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 24. And again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But this is another amazing story. Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings in Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah. And the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir all came together to come against the children of Israel. Now, what do you know about who are the Ammonites? Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry, that's it. Chapter 20, verse 1 is where we are. Who are the Ammonites? Real quickly. They're enemies, but whose children were the Ammonites? Who? Who? They're Lot's kids. Lot's son was named Ammon and Moab. So every time you see the Moabites and the Ammonites, that's that guy that Abraham took with him. And Mount Seir, who's Mount Seir? That's Esau. These are their cousins. All their cousins. Everybody say cousins. So that tells you that some cousins, well, you know what, can't be trusted. So the cousins came. A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now notice he feared, but he didn't live on his fear. He sought the Lord. So that tells us when we become afraid, what we're supposed to do. Seek the Lord. Get rid of your fear. Amen? Because the Bible says what? God didn't give you the spirit of fear. So if you got fear, seek God about that fear so that he can take it out of your heart. And notice how he takes it out of his heart. So the first thing he says, he seeks the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood, in verse 5, in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, and famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. See, he's rehearsing the word of God in his life. This is how you really pray. He is praying the word. He's praying all the promises that God gave them. But then now let's get to these enemies of his. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Remember that. God told them, nope, I gave that area to Lot's kids. I gave that area to Esau's kids. So they could not go in and possess those lands. He says, but they're here to take our land. And here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But, everybody say, but. Our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. They don't have the power. In other words, they've looked at the sense realm and they say, we can't beat this people. But our eyes are not on our senses, it's on you. This is where anticipation comes from. Our eyes are no longer on this world, but on his realm. And then when you get into his realm, all things are possible to them that believe. But let's see what happens. It says, now all Judah, I guess I might read the whole thing, with all their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazael. And they go through his family lineage just to make sure. He is Asaph's son. And if you guys know who Asaph was, anybody know? I think Gene said Asaph was the guy that played music with David. And the Bible talks about how he was a prophetic music person. So his looked like a great-great-grandchild is prophesying to King Jehoshaphat in response to his prayer. And so he says, listen, all you of Judah, verse 15, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you king, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Notice God knows exactly where they are. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now they have a choice to make now. He says you don't have to fight, but he said you have to go. You don't have to fight, but you have to go. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? If you're going to go, don't you think you're going to have to fight? That's what I would be thinking. If somebody said, get up and go, meet them at this is the location. But he said, but you're not going to have to fight. I don't know how this is going to work. But see, that's what we do. We want to know how this is going to work. Everybody should have said amen. Because we're always, God, how is this going to work? And he never tells you. He just tells you to do what I just told you to do. Don't ask for more instruction when you haven't obeyed the first one. I mean, I love it when my kids always say, I used to tell them, go clean up your room. And say, well, what are we going to do after that? After won't come until you clean up the room. So obey the first instruction and then we'll get to the next. Amen? So they go down there. First they praise God and they say, thank you, Lord, for hearing us. So they rise up early, verse 20, in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. They went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would sing praise, should praise in the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come out against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab and Judah, Moab, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of this in the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So God made all the cousins start fighting each other. That's how you won't have to fight in this battle. They never liked each other in the first place. Esau never liked anybody. I mean, Esau was a stranger, a loner. But they start beating up, killing each other. And all Judah had to do, the reason why they had to go up is because they needed to collect all the stuff that they left behind. And they took all the spoil that they left behind. So they were blessed by obeying. Amen? This is what you call being more than a conqueror. Because they didn't have to fight the battle, but they were blessed as a result of the battle. They didn't have to fight. Amen? This is how God does for us. Now, we're not kingdoms, we're not nations, but we're individual believers. But the same principle comes to pass. You have to obey the instructions that he gives to you. And once you do what he says you to do, then you have a right to expect something from God. Amen? And that's what anticipation is. That's why you get excited when you obey. Because once you obey, then you're going to see something that God's going to do that's great and magnificent. I mean, the children of Israel are an amazing group. And of course, if you let history tell it, the children of Israel, the kingdom of Israel never existed. You know that now they're trying to say that Jesus was a Palestinian? Did you guys hear that during the Easter week? That's kind of odd, isn't it? Did you guys know that Palestine wasn't even created until after Jesus was dead and resurrected and in heaven? Palestine, just so you'll know, when the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and they also later on in about 130 AD annihilated the nation of Israel, they changed it to Palestine. That's when the name Palestine shows up. So Jesus couldn't have been a Palestinian, but it's just... It goes to show you that any Jewish connection to Jesus, they're trying to undo, because who knows why, but people just don't like Jewish people. But the reality is that Jesus was circumcised on what day? The eighth day, commanded by who? God. To who? Moses. So Jesus was Jewish. And of course we know his parents were from the line of David. I mean, he can track his lineage. It's not a question. That's why don't let people come, and this is what I said about Islam. Don't let people come 600 years later and try to tell you what the Bible says when the Bible has proof to say what it says. And they're trying to change it. You can't change it after the fact. Now, you can try to rewrite history, but you can't change what is. Amen? So if anybody has an opportunity to talk to their Muslim brothers and they want to share the gospel with them, just point out some of these things, you know, and let them see the light, the truth. The gospel is true. You can't throw darkness on the truth. It's true. You can try to hide it, but you can't deny it. Amen? The Bible says this about truth. You shall what? Know the truth. And what will happen? And the truth will set you free. Now, even the Jews disputed that claim. He says, well, wait a minute. We're freeborn. We've not been slave to any man. But what did he say to them? He said, he that sins is a what? A slave to sin. And then he goes on, he says, but a slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Therefore, if the son has made you free, then you're free indeed. So anyway, I'm going to stop here. But anticipation comes when you obey God. And then you have the right to believe God for the impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We have to get to the place where cancer doesn't scare us anymore. AIDS, hepatitis, any uncurable or incurable disease, that doesn't scare us anymore. Because our eyes are on Him, not the condition. Amen? I love Isaiah when it says, starts out, who has believed our report? We got all these other reports, but who's going to believe God's report? And that's what we have to do. We have to believe God's report in the face of every other negative report. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for people like Joshua and Jehoshaphat who were reminded and were told what to do, and they were faithful to do what You told them to do. And Lord, we want to arise to that level of faithfulness. We want to stop doubting everything we hear. And we want to believe the impossible. Lord, a miracle is just that, the impossible. And only You can do these things. So Lord, help us to really take to heart the passage that says, if we can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then even going a step further, with God, all things are possible. So Lord, help us to remember that when it comes to when we're praying for our family members, when we're praying for ourselves, when we're faced with insurmountable circumstances, to remember that with God, all things are possible. And Lord, get us to the place. Help us to soar past our senses. And that's a strong thing that we have to overcome. But Lord, nothing is impossible for You. We know that we have to see. We know that we have to hear, taste, touch, and feel, and smell. But Lord, that is not the final word. Your word is the final word. So thank You, Lord, for elevating our eyes to see You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.